So we are set. So it wasn't a good feast for all of you. It was for us, and we found the messages were heartfelt and encouraging. And here's a short summary of ours, just to get you a little taste of what we went through at Morehead City in North Carolina. We learned that we are here because we are not yet there. Still much to learn. Sound like a contradictory statement, but we have a lot to learn. We learned that the spiritual attitudes of leaders will be taken from the model of a family. We have hope and the confidence and anticipation of the promises of God, not in the kind of wishful hope and wishful thinking that doesn't lead to God. We look forward to increasing our knowledge sevenfold in the kingdom, overcoming our inner grizzly, and learning that a change of heart is critical if that kingdom is going to continue to grow our spiritual nature. And I appreciate Mr. Williams' sermonette. It's perfect for us to grow from. So fill in your own peace memories, inspire your hearts from the messages you heard. Today, we're going to look at a vision of the nature of our hearts being inspired by the feast through three specific changes: the future physical changes that are coming to this earth, the changes within our own hearts, and so spreading the change to others, not just in the millennium, but in today also. So first we're going to talk about is the change, the physical change that the earth is going to go through. Today, we can look around and be inspired by the beauty God created in our physical world, the intricacies of our human bodies, the interconnectedness of each part of creation and the stars above. Isn't God giving us or cleaning us up to give us clean hearts and better bodies? That's where he's leading us to. Please turn with me to Romans 8. In Romans 8, talking about the fallen nature of this current planet where we're at, Romans 8 and verse 22, you all should be very familiar with the scripture. It says, because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together with us until now. At Christ's return, he'll bring physical changes to this earth that will support his reign of his kingdom during the 1,000-year millennium. It's based on Ezekiel 36, 35, and we see how God is bringing the Garden of Eden to this earth. And we probably heard a lot of messages along this line, and I hope to bring some of those up to your thoughts today. These changes together inspire us and fill us with expectations of his promises, and will help heal and comfort the survivors of the tribulation. Okay, we have power here. There you go. There's a picture of a beautiful scene that could be the Garden of Eden. The earth will become like the Garden of Eden, as it says in Ezekiel 36, 35. In that process, though, the oceans will also change. They'll be healed and teemed with fish. Today, 85% of the global fish population are overexploited and declining. Please turn with me to Ezekiel 47, and we'll go through some of the healing that God is bringing them. In Ezekiel 37, 47, they may have brought this up at the feast with you as well. I'll stimulate some memories here. Ezekiel. Here we go, 47, verses 8 through 9. Then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish. That's for all our fishermen's here. Because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. So our oceans and our rivers will all be healed, and also our deserts will be healed. The deserts will be filled with water, grass, and rushes. Today there are 14 million square miles of hot desert on this earth. Not just talking about hot desert, not talking about frozen desert. Isaiah 35 says, then the lame shall leap like the deer, and the tongue of the donkey, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. There shall be grass with reeds and rushes. So the deserts will be turned into these beautiful places that we can all go visit. And then we're going to talk about the sun. The sun being seven times brighter, agriculture will grow at least seven times faster, and realize the moon is also going to be the same brightness of the sun. So that means there's going to be a 24-hour period of sun exposure for the crops. Our existing global food supply is being greatly challenged by the needs of the forecasted 9.7 billion people in 2050, and that's about 20% more than today's 8.2 billion people on the planet. Please turn with me to Isaiah 30. And this only backs up what I've just said in Isaiah 30 and verse 26. It says, moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in one day. And it also says that in that day, the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wounds. And then in Amos 9:13, it continues. Amos 9 and verse 13, where it says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. Things will grow tremendously. And with all that growth, you're going to see some improvements. For instance, you're going to see hills that flow with milk and with wine. And continuing in Amos 9:13, it says, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. And then in Joel 3:18, it says, and it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk. It's amazing. The changes that are going to happen. It's going to have a big impact on all of those people who have gone through the tribulation. They're going to see a totally different earth than we've grown up in. It's going to be very rich and full of life, lots of life. And you probably all know this one's coming. The animals and reptiles will become tame. Today, 1,500 species of animals eat other animals for food. That's an awful lot. In the US, United States, 57,000 injuries are recorded yearly between humans and animals, with 440 people dying yearly due to animals. And you know the scripture, Isaiah 11, the cow and bear shall graze together, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. Looking forward to having a pet bear. The property I have in Kentucky right now, we have bear that show up there every once in a while. I'd like one of them to be a pet. I think they're interesting, they're big, and they'd be very cuddly, I'm sure. Also, in addition to this, there's a highway to Jerusalem for the people to travel safely and seek God. If we call the highway of the redeemed. Today, there are 120 million miles of roadway worldwide. But this one very special road will be built. It talks about it in Isaiah 35, if you'd like to turn there with me. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. And then drop down to verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. Kind of like the joy and gladness that we have coming back from the feast. In addition to this, Jerusalem will become the tallest point in the earth, issuing a healing river to the earth. Today, Mount Everest is 29,000 feet above the sea level. Isaiah 2 says that it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. It's inspiring to see all the changes that God's planning. The feast ignites our faith and lights our lamps as we return to our homes after the feast. The messages we receive inspire us and can be added to how beautiful and fulfilling some of those key physical changes that Christ brings at his return. That expectation can be a light inspiration for us as we endure until that time. Second change we're going to talk about is the change within our hearts. We can grow our hearts. This is a picture that really shows a lot of life. You can feel life in that picture and life. We can grow our hearts' enthusiasm of all the beauty and life that comes with Jesus at his return. And we can talk about that. And just looking at the feast that Solomon had in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we can mirror that with what we've learned at the feast this year. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Solomon, verse 8, kept the feast 7 days, and all of Israel with him, a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. On the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar in 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day, on the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents. They were joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, Solomon, and the people. We too have seen all the good that God has done for us and the church coming back from the feast. And we can be glad of heart like they were. We can start feeling it with our hearts. There are changes to our hearts in the coming kingdom, and we can realize some of them here today. Here's what Jesus said in John 7, verse 38. It's talking about the Holy Spirit working in us, what Jesus promised us all. In Jesus 7, 38, it says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his mouth will flow rivers of living water." Well, we believe in Jesus and we live his truth in our hearts. And that living God's way, all of God's way, allows God to work through our hearts and make us a light, to make us a river of life for other people to drink from. James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turn. God gives to us daily for the good of us and others, if we use them to his glory. We're accountable for producing spiritual fruits. We can continue reaching for God, seeking his light in our hearts, and we can also light up the lives of others that God wants us to do, to light up. In 1 John 1, 7, it says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of all sin." We talked about the first change, the changes that are coming to the earth. And we talked about the second change, the changes within our hearts coming from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about the third change. How our hearts can offer changes for others. We We know the light shines through the darkness. We are the lights of the world. We can shine through the darkness of this world when we return to our lives in this world. Can we feel the God's Holy Spirit, the flame in us, bringing us a light for life for others around us? We are his children on earth today. And we already just covered John 7:38, where he says that out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. It has application in the future as well as today. It shows a source of living waters to all people, using us as his bride. It's going to come from our hearts too. And he gives an invitation to everybody in the kingdom. He says he wants everybody an invitation to abundant life in Isaiah 55. Let me turn to Isaiah 55 now. And in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and price. Why do you spend money for things that's not bread, and your wages for things that do not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance." And I think we had a message on abundance a couple of weeks ago. And it is amazing what God can do for us if we trust him and let him do for us. It also, we know in the kingdom that Joel, you turn to Joel in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, talks about the spirit that's going to be poured out on the flesh. It says, "It shall come to pass," Joel 2, verse 28, "that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." That's talking about the kingdom and our presence there. What about today? Is there something that we can do today? Taking into account what Christ said to his apostles in Acts 1, verse 8. We do have a bit of a responsibility to carry forth this message. In Acts 1 in verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." He was referring to all those he currently gives the Holy Spirit to. We in this room have the Holy Spirit and can share the gospel as the apostles and promote it to others too as well. Our media department is doing much, but could we be doing some too? You know the Great Commission, of course, Matthew 28, "teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We have been given the Holy Spirit and represent Jesus Christ as his ambassadors. We can bring our hearts, intents, and hopes of the feast as living water to the world, to our worlds here at home. We can be an example of living his way in hope of his coming kingdom. Our calling is to bear heartfelt spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit given to us to share with those around us as Christ Jesus did. When Christ was with his apostles, their hearts were burning, Luke 24. Do you think we might be able to have some of that happening because of our hearts being excited about the kingdom, excited about our salvation, walking in righteousness? Luke 24, verse 23. Apostle said, "Did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" The scriptures were open to us, that got us excited and to follow his calling. There are people who will listen, accept the grace of Jesus' sacrifice, And when they do, it allows them to experience a fuller and more purposeful life. After all, we're lights in this world, and we can help in a kind, sensitive way, bring the gospel to ones that God has called. And when we do, Romans 10 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We've heard all about that kind of tidings and good things this feast. We know in the future that will be us, but how about today in this broken world? Is there a purpose that we're being sent for? Realize that when we do share, Luke 15 says there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just perfect. And also in Luke 15, I want to read verse 8 here completely because I think it kind of speaks to us in a way. In verse 8, it's talking about the parable of the lost coin. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp? Are we a lamp that Jesus Christ is using, God the Father is using, to sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And then when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. God will make the physical changes. He also changes our hearts with his Holy Spirit if we let him. We are then accountable to offer God's hope to others in our lives now and on into the millennium. And we can rejoice and share joy over every sinner that repents today and in the kingdom. So I have a slide to show the continuum here, what we've been talking about. Here's how our heart's enthusiasm connects to the world. We have physical creation leading to the Holy Spirit making our hearts feel and grow in Christ's message and become more spiritual, and then sharing the out on the outside with others. Can our hearts now be able to bring Christ's message of life to others through the Holy Spirit? In Psalm 51, David asked God to have a clean heart put in him. And if you read a few verses down, it says, so he could teach transgressors his ways, and sinners shall be converted to God. With the feast messages inspiring, we can have a heart of light, the Holy Spirit, and hope of his salvation is sought to share with others. I'm going to play with you now a YouTube video. It's the a cappella company performs Creating Me, written by Terry Talbot, originally recorded by John Michael and Terry Talbot. Anchor is showing too much. Creating a clean heart, O God, let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength
Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wing. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, we shall be born and to be blessed in your love. Created me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wing. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, we shall be born and to be blessed in your love. Create me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wing. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and if we mourn death, we shall be born and to be blessed in your love. We shall be born and to be blessed. And the world.